Blog Talk Radio.
Again on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Quaslin. Tonight's topic is a topic that's going to touch bases and touch the lives and the ears of a lot of listeners on tonight. And the topic simply is motivation. Help, my family needs motivation. What happens when a spouse or a child loses their motivation? There are many things in life that may cause someone to lose their ambition. When this occurs, how is the family unit affected? What can be done to help restore what seems to be lost? How can we help our spouses and children regain their drive and confidence to meet their full potential in life? Again, today's date is August 2nd, 2016, and we just want to thank you for joining us to our listeners. And on tonight, sorry we're starting a little late, but we were having a bit of a technical difficulty here, which I think we pretty much have ironed out and we've gotten fixed. So I want to introduce myself. I'm Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife on the other line. Honey, are you there?
I am. Hello, everyone.
All right. Well, we have our first caller that has called in on tonight, and our caller ending in 8225. You're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Keisha.
I'm doing great. How are you guys tonight?
I'm fine.
Yeah, doing all right, actually. Had a bit of a technical difficulty, started us a little late, but, hey, we're still here. We still living and talking about it.
I'm right on time, then.
Yeah.
Yep, you are.
So tonight's topic is help. My family needs motivation. We're trying to figure out what happens when a spouse, a child, or a loved one loses their motivation. Like, you know, there are many things that cause people to lose their ambition, you know, be it a job, the loss of a job that you were highly qualified for, or just even, you know, just the mere presence of being in someone who is very pompous and arrogant and at times seems to try to attack other people's lifestyle and the way they choose to live, they tend to attack it to try to make themselves feel better, and it causes people to lose their drive, their ambition, their focus, their motivation. So what do we do about it when it occurs?
Right. Like you said, there are several reasons why someone can lose their motivation, except loss of a job. Death in the family. You know, if someone moves, they can actually lose their motivation. Health issues. Things, you know, just different things. Fibromyalgia, thyroid issues, MS, cancer, you know, things like that. A disability, you know, becoming paralyzed. Just disappointments. Disappointments and failures. You know, you started a business a couple times and it didn't work. You know, those type of things. And fear. Fear can also be one of the biggest hindrances or biggest factors, you know, of someone losing their motivation. And then I'm sure there are some more, so if anyone want to list any, you know, please feel free. But what do we do when someone loses their motivation? How does it affect the family? I guess I'll just start off with a few things. First, I'll talk about a spouse, and then I'll talk about children. You know, when you're married, if your spouse loses their motivation, I guess, you know, depending on what it's about, what it's pertaining to, there could actually be, you know, a withdrawal. They could withdraw from the family. Instead of being happy like they used to be, they could always be, you know, irritable or sad, and that affects the whole dynamic of the family. And I know, you know, to some it may not seem like a big deal, but when you have that, that does affect the household, especially if it's a change that occurred, you know, unexpectedly, if it happened, you know, kind of quickly, even if it happened slowly, if you guys, you know, if the family used to be really involved with each other, always, you know, did things together, everybody laughed, everybody played, and then something happened that caused this spouse to kind of lose a drive, kind of pull away from, you know, the family, withdraw, not want to do this, not want to do that, or whatever, then it does take a, you guys, please excuse my children in the background, my little ones, it does cause a hardship and a burden on the entire family. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this happens, you know, with the spouse, and they, again, pull away from the spouse, so that affects the marriage. They pull away from the children. That affects the children. You know, the children are wondering, well, what's wrong? Even in single-parent homes, if this happens, just, you know, happens to the parent, then the children are left wondering what happened. It could be, of course, due to a loss, you know, loss of a job. It could be due to a divorce and, you know, different things like that. And the children are used to their parent being one way, but then they are another. They've just completely lost the zeal, you know, their zeal, and it drains the family unit. It drains the family unit. So that's what I have to say for right now. Did you have anything, baby, Akeisha?
Well, it actually does indeed drain the family unit, What I can say is most of the time it is not even necessarily a life changing experience that causes the change to come about. I myself, you know, being a soldier, you know, for almost 20 years, I have seen times where I've had my up days and my down days, my up years and my down years. And, you know, I have been on this emotional roller coaster, you know, from time to time. But, however, it can just merely be a moment where you're trying to reflect on things. It can be a moment where at least I can speak for myself. It was a moment where I was trying to reflect on things, you know, and see, okay, am I achieving the goals that I set out for me and my family? Am I doing what I got to do to make sure that I'm setting my family up for success? You know, the whole nine. So sometimes, even my wife, she checks on me quite often, and sometimes she's trying to figure out, like, what's going on with me. Like here just recently, I don't have any issue or anything going on that was a life-changing experience, but What I can say is I'm starting to look at things a little differently. Maybe it's because of age. Could very well be, you know, I'm aging, I'm maturing, even the more, because we're always maturing, whether people want to believe it or not. Once you're adult doesn't mean you're fully matured. So we're always maturing in certain areas and different aspects of living. So I'm starting to look at things a whole lot differently. You know, like right now, my wife and I, you know, we let our son go out, and normally he's the one here, you know, monitoring our children while we're having the show. But he's outside playing, didn't have track of time, and normally I would flip off the deep end. But this time I'm just like, nope, don't worry about it, don't go get him. when he comes in, he'll see that the show's already started, what have you. So, I mean, you know, there's many things that can come that can cause it. But my motivation, I don't really have a lack of motivation. I think I'm just aging, and I'm starting to see things a whole lot differently.
Well, I think that's the thing. You know, some of it is, you know, maturity, but, you know, but some of it is just really losing motivation. You lose motivation, and I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying people,
I know. I got you.
You know, lose motivation. And it could be, you know, for some people, well, I'm not where I wanted to be in my life at the age of 40. You know, I thought when I was 20 that I would be at a certain place by the age of 40, but here I am, and I'm not there. And so then there's something inside of you that may kind of give up. You know, you may give up. And so what, and the people that love you, they see that. They don't want you to give up. So what do, you know, so what do we do? How do we be accountable for each other? How do we look out for each other? How do we, you know, kind of help that person push through? I also want to make sure that we talk about this, because one of the reasons that some people lose motivation, in addition to, you know, the things that we listed, loss of job and all that, but these things bring on depression. So we also want to make sure that we are watching for signs of depression in people, because people are sometimes depressed. We can sometimes be depressed and don't even realize that we're depressed.
Mm.
Some people don't know that. We may not, you know, we don't have any idea what's going on with us. And we're saying, no, I'm not. Somebody may ask you, you know, are you depressed? And you're like, no, I'm not depressed. No, I'm not depressed. But you're really depressed. And so that will cause you to kind of, that will cause you to lose your motivation in some things. So I do want to touch on that. Signs of depression to look for in others as well as ourselves. Sadness, loss of interest in activities, you know, socialization, things that we enjoy, you know, that type of thing. Being tired, really tired a lot, that's a sign of depression. Sleeping, you know, sometimes people will sleep 12, 13, 14 hours a day because they, you know, they say, well, I'm tired, fatigued, but it's a sign of, but they're depressed. They don't know they're depressed. Irritability, you know, irritable, snapping about stuff. Every little thing kind of setting them off. Lack of concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety. They begin to, you know, they can possibly begin to take drugs, use alcohol, eat, overeating, and suicidal thoughts. Those are some of the signs of depression. But, you know, it varies with different people. I know that there are other signs out there, you know, but these are some of the things to look for when we have a family member, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a friend, you know, whether it be a mom or a dad, you know, friends, a children, you know, loved ones. I'm just going to say loved ones and not just family members. These are some of the things to look for, you know, to watch out for if there's someone who has, you know, lost their motivation, lost their ambition, you know, for life.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome, honey. Keisha, you had anything before I move on or before I say something?
No, I'm good. I'm trying to eat dinner right now.
Okay. All right. So those are good points that you brought out, honey. And what I've seen just merely from me, you know, encountering different nationalities, different age groups, you know, what have you, being in the military, a lot of the time when people lose motivation, they lose motivation because they don't have an insight, or they don't have a start point to even get to the resources they need, you know, in order for them to reach the goals they want to reach. And what I mean by that is, like, take me for instance. Here I am. My goal is to own my own barbershop. I wanna have a chain of barbershops. I wanna have at least 4 barbershops total altogether. But if I don't know where to start with that, then I tend to lose motivation because now I'm sitting here and I had a car. The wheels are turning, but I'm still sitting in one spot because I don't know where to go from here. You know, now, I mean, and every great idea, every great invention, every great thing that ever happened all started from a mere thought. So if my thought process is in action and it's in line with everything that I want to do, I got to figure out, okay, how am I going to reach this goal? How am I going to reach this goal? And a lot of the times you have people that mindset is on 10, but they don't know how to get through steps 1 through 9 to get to 10. And when you get there, or when you can't see those resources, or you just lose sight of your vision, this tends to cause motivation to dwindle. And I see it all the time, you know, where, like I said, you have promotions that come out every month, you know, at the first of the month, but they normally come out around, you know, the mid-month. All right, and each month you have people that have this different – they have these different emotions that's brewing. They're like, okay, I think this is my year. I think this is my month. I think this might be my quarterly session where I can actually get picked up in this quarter. And then they don't get picked up for it. And then they say, okay, man, I believe I've done all I can do to get promoted. Why am I not getting promoted? So then now that vision is gone. Or that person that feels that they're highly qualified for the job position that's coming open on their current job, and then they don't get picked up for that position, and somebody else gets picked up for it. Now you're sitting there trying to figure out things like, okay, now what made him or her more qualified than me when everybody knows my expertise and my knowledge in this job profession, or everybody knows my work ethic, but yet you pick so-and-so, and I'm trying to figure out why you picked him or her over me. When I had seniority, I've been here the longest, but yet you pick him or her over me. It's all things that can tie into motivation, and motivation, therefore, would cause depression. Therefore, depression leading to, unwanted thoughts and unwanted gestures, being it somebody reaches out to shake your hand and you're at work, or somebody speaks to you in the morning when you're walking past them and you don't hear them because your mind is focused on the do's and the don'ts, or why didn't I get, or I shoulda, woulda, coulda done this, or if I had done this a little better, I could have been able to do this. So, and that's just me speaking on one spectrum, one side of the spectrum, and one arena, and that's looking at, you know, jobs, but even with families, just like, as you mentioned earlier, honey, where you were talking about family members or loved one, you know, actually going through things, and then now they're like, okay, I'm not at the point where I wanted to be at here when I was in high school or when I was in college, and I had these aspiring goals to get to where I wanted to be at. But again, it all boils down from your mere thought. You can have your process, but a lot of times many of us have problems in putting our thoughts into action and not knowing about the resources, because I mean, even with me, I just got online one day and just started looking up stuff. And then I was riding down the road, y'all. Funny thing, riding down the road, I know I'm hip hopping all over the place, but I was just riding down the road one day, listening to the radio, flipping through, you know, scanning, trying to find a radio station. Because I think I was going to Richmond. No, I was going down to Newport News, Virginia. And I'm flipping through the radio, and then I wound up stopping on this radio station that's kind of like C-SPAN. If you all know what C-SPAN is, you know what I'm talking about. But they start talking about different things when it comes to why small businesses don't succeed. And one of the top reasons why small businesses don't succeed is because they don't have the support system to be able to get their name out there. So with them not being able to get their name out there, it's kind of like the person that actually has this big great idea, this big great invention, but doesn't know how, but don't have the means and the necessary tools in order to expose or broadcast their vision to the world. So, and then they start talking about different minorities or different ethnic groups, and they even have a grant for minority small business. A lot of people don't know about that, but they have a minority small business grant. So that way, you know, minority ethnic groups can get small business grants that'll help push them into, you know, starting their business. And but then you got to find a means of getting your information across. Granted, we know across the radio waves, even to put it on a radio station to mention it costs money. To put it on a billboard, it costs money. And most people lack to be able to do that because of their lack of knowledge of knowing the resources that are out there to them. So that's, again, just me talking on a small arena.
And that's actually a very big thing, because that is, you know, one of the main reasons people do lose it, because, you know, they're not doing what they want to do in life. And so that's one of the main reasons people will lose motivation. They have, you know, working on jobs that they don't really want to be on. You know, we all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have things, you know, that God has placed on the inside of us. And sometimes because of circumstances, you know, we cannot actually step out on those things or, really build on those things. Yes.
When you get done, I want to say something.
Okay. Build on them like we desire. And so we see, because, you know, people don't have the resources or don't know what's available to them, then they're working on jobs for years that they do not want to be on. Their hearts are not there. And so, you know, the older you get, the more frustrated you get, the more, you know, aggravated you get, then you're not making the money that you want to make. And, you know, then so there's that financial frustration and the frustration of I'm working to build somebody else's, you know, thing and not building something for me and my children. And so that does lead to, you know, a lack of motivation, which can definitely play a big part in the family. It can definitely, you know, affect the atmosphere in the family. So what I'm going to take from one of the things, from what you were saying, Kenny, is one of the things that we need to do for that particular part there, for that particular reason, is to educate ourselves on what's out there. Because we don't know what resources are available, so we have to, you know, we have, thank God for the internet now. Get online, start, you know, researching, networking, talking to other business owners, other small business owners, other people that have actually made it, you know, or on the way to where we're trying to go. You know, surround ourselves with people. We have to surround ourselves with people that, when I say think like us, I do realize that we all think differently. I understand that. However, people that think on the level you do as far as how they, you know, what they aspire for in life, where they want to go in life, instead of settling for this or settling for that. And so surrounding ourselves with people who think like that,
yeah,
you know, that think like that, because there are, like you said, you know, grants and things like that. So there are resources there. We know that there are some people that start off with the resources and with the money. That's just how it is. It's easier for them because somebody has already paved the way. They've had the way paved for them, so they're walking into it. Then there are some of us who, you know, we don't have that, so we're trying to be the ones to pave the way. And this is where we have to really look at God and know that through him we can do it. We have to pray. We have to seek him for guidance, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. So he will direct us in that. We just have to make sure that we're doing what was said before that. Okay, so I'm going to stop. Go ahead, Keisha, the floor is yours.
Okay, well, I was just going to say that, you know, you were saying that sometimes we look at where we are and we're not pleased with where we are because we wanted more for ourselves at a certain point in our lives. And I know that's easy to do, to get down on yourself because you may not have accomplished what you have wanted to accomplish, like you may not have accomplished the goals that you personally have set for yourself. But I think it's important during those times to sit down and evaluate and try to hold on to the things that you have been able to accomplish, no matter how small they are. Just look at yourself, where you are today, where you were maybe just a few years ago, and it may not have been a lot that you have accomplished in that time frame, but if you are not in the same place that you were just a few short years ago, then you have made accomplishments and you have made positive progress. So if nothing else, just list those things and be like, okay, you know what? I may not be making exactly what I'm making, what I want to make, but I'm making far more than what I was making last year. So, you know, I think it's important for us not to get so down on ourselves and just to realize that we don't always, it won't always come in big strides. Sometimes it'll come in small ones, but that doesn't mean your breakthrough and your big stride is not going to come. So hold on to
look at you preaching.
Well, amen.
Preach.
And she's had to preach this to me before.
Look at you. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead. I'm liking this.
And she's right. You're right, Keisha. And we do sometimes put.
Honey, we interrupted her.
I'm sorry, what?
We interrupted her, baby.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Keisha.
Y'all are good. Y'all are fine.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, that's just what I wanted to say. That was it. That was really all I wanted to say.
Oh,
so I'm not
Lord.
You got
it was getting good. You were giving us a whole sermonette there.
Well, you interrupted first.
I was excited to hear my sister talk like that.
Y'all are amazing.
But if I may, y'all, I got two callers that just joined us here not too long ago. If I can bring them on in. I have caller in again 1-844 and then caller in it again 6770. 1-844, you're on the air. 6770,
hey,
you're on the air. Whoever wants to go first.
Hey, good afternoon, Pastor Kenny. This is Missionary Jay. Just calling and listening.
What it do?
Hey, Mish.
Hey, Pastor.
How you doing, Mish?
Hey, good afternoon.
I'm good.
Pastor Kenny, Pastor Quadron.
Pastor!
What's
how y'all doing
on,
today?
Pastor?
How y'all doing today?
I'm glad y'all ladies called in.
I got
three of my favorite ladies on the phone. Well, four.
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I believe you were forgetting about me when you said those three, so I'm going to need you to make sure that you faithful.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I must say, Keisha, great points. Great points. She said, hold on. And that's the key. That's the key. We got to hold on, right, to God's unchanging hand because, you know, the word tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain, right? So we got to trust on that word that's going to remain. We got to have that standing faith, that strong faith, that steadfast faith that what God has allowed us to receive, we got to be grateful in that. And when we're grateful in that, then he'll bless us with much, you know, and he'll give us more, you know. But a lot of times that motivation will come in there. And most of the time, honestly, when it's motivation and it turns into bitterness and it turns into what we call depression, that's a trick of the enemy. That's the enemy trying to show. That's the enemy trying to put things in front of you to tell you, hey, you look at where you're at right now. You ain't where you thought you were gonna be, are you? You know, I'm telling y'all, true story, right? Me and my wife, you know, we first. Got on our journey of having children, right? And, you know, we used to go to baby shower after baby shower. My wife was faithfully going out there, you know, getting involved and making sure she participated in the baby showers. But, y'all, I had to watch some tears. I had to watch some tears. And one day I just said, Lord, I said, I need you to give me a word for my wife that will not only bless her, but it would encourage her at the same time. And, honey, I don't know if you remember us talking. I think we was, where were we going that night? I'm trying to think. I can't remember where we were going. I think we might have been going to the Fort Hood Airport. But I remember us driving clearly, just like it's just yesterday. I remember us driving out of the Clear Creek Gate, and we were going toward the Fort Hood Airport. I remember passing the bowling alley and all of that stuff. And I said, you know what, baby? I said, you're sowing these tears that you're sowing. You're gonna reap in joy eventually. God wants me to tell you this. God wants me to tell you that you're crying, but you're purging yourself for something that He's getting ready to bless you with. And sure as day, here go our blessing, our first blessing. Jeremiah DeMarcus Johnson. Y'all all know him well as JJ, Jeremiah, Minor, you know, the whole nine. Everybody know him, all these different names. But now, you know, that motivation, she had lost it. She had lost it because she had that drive and that motivation and that ambition because she wanted to make sure that, you know, when me and her got married, she wanted to bless me with kids. You know, that was her gift. That was what she wanted to be, a gift to me. And I'm telling you, y'all, when God gave me that word to give her, after that, everything started falling into place. I'm not just saying because of my word, but it was because of my obedience to do what God wanted me to do for her at that moment in her life. And had I not done that, then who knows what would have happened. But I'll tell you what, the Lord opened the windows of heaven, and He opened the floodgates, and He let it rain because, Lord, we...
He ain't shut them yet.
Real loud.
Lord.
Loud now.
Lord. But I'm just, you know, grateful to God at all He's done. And you know, I'm just in awe of the conversation tonight because, you know, I think it's a great topic when it comes to motivation, because motivation can be AKA'd into many names. Motivation can be AKA'd into joy. It can be AKA'd into confidence. It can be AKA'd into happiness. You know, whatever you have. Because when you got motivation, you're happy. When you got
right.
motivation, you got joy. When you got motivation, you got confidence in doing things that a lot of people say you couldn't do.
Right. Right.
So, but let me stop because I ain't trying to preach, Lord. Let me let somebody else talk.
No, but that was good. And you're right, because I was actually about to say something to that effect. When we lack motivation, which it is a trick of the enemy, and it is he does that because his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we see our spouse or we see our children at a point where they're lacking, or friends, or, you know, I know this is a family, you know, we're talking about family, but of course this extends. When we see that, we know that the enemy is coming to steal, kill, destroy, steal visions. You know, he's coming to steal futures. He's coming to destroy futures. Because if he can stop us, then, you know, he feels he can hinder our children, or they're going to have to work harder. You know, if he stops us, whether it's by, you know, disappointment, fears, you know, whatever. And so it is an important part of our lives, of our families, to have that motivation and that drive. And when we see each other falling, then we do just, you know, what you were saying, what you said to me, what my friends, everybody on the phone has said, you know, has done for me, Keisha, Pastor Michelle, Mish, you know, encourage one another, remind each other of, you know, the accomplishments that we've made, you know, be a cheerleader. Hey, you can do this. You can do this. Look, you've done this. That was, you know, great. You know, whatever. So when we see each other struggling, we have to make sure that we do that. That we are in prayer for each other. That we kind of give that push. That we have accountability. You know, and those type of things. Because if the enemy can take the motivation out of the family, if we're walking around, the atmosphere, like I said, the atmosphere's changed. You know, that separation. you know, the wife, she's not talking like she used to talk. She's always sad. She's always irritable, you know. And then the children, like, I don't want to talk to mom. You know, the dad, the husband's like, well, dog, you know, I remember when she used to be happy. I used to do this for her, and it would make her smile. But now, you know, nothing's making her smile. And then it's affecting and destroying relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's so much deeper than what we realize. Okay, I'm being quiet right now.
Okay, but if I may, right, when we're encouraging one another, we also, just as you said, as accountability partners, because everybody on the phone right now, we're accountability partners. We're accountable for each other, right? And here's what I mean. If I'm not doing what thus says the Lord, you know, and I'm not in line with his will for not even just our lives, but for my life, then it's your duty and responsibility to identify with me and to make me aware of my, and many people might not agree with this word, but it's a good word to use at this present moment. You have to make me aware of my shortcoming, right? And you got to make me aware of my shortcoming. And what I mean by that is, hey, look, you know, this is what thus says the Lord. You got to trust. You got to stand on his promise. You got to stand on his word. And right now you're not standing on his word. Is that not a shortcoming when we lack of faith?
Yeah.
That's a shortcoming,
yeah.
Right? Okay, but here's what I want to bring to y'all attention, because God has been dealing with me with this scripture for I don't know how long, and everything I do, most of the time, this scripture pops up in my head. And we're coming, and I want to talk about Mark 9:23. And y'all, this came strictly from Jesus' mouth. No matter what people say, right? Everybody always relies on Philippians 4:13, which is merely what? I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Okay. But Jesus said in Mark 9:23, he said himself, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, all things are possible to him that believes. So when we down on our faith, let's stand on that Mark 9:23. Because Jesus told that, he told his disciples, he said, if a man can think of it, all things are possible to him that believes. New American Standard puts it this way. New American Standard says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Then it's possible. Right? So when we get down on ourselves and we start struggling with, you know, depression, you know, or us not being at the area in which we want to be, Keisha, you made a valid point, and I want to bring that out again, that we have to trust God, and we have to thank God in the small things that we see at the moment that he's blessed us with, because all he's doing, right, is he's preparing us for something greater. Each and every time God blesses us, y'all, he's blessing us greater and greater and greater, but we have to have room to be able to receive it. And if we don't have room to receive it, which means we have to purge ourselves and say, okay, all right, Lord, I'm stepping out of this situation right now, because right now I'm in my feelings. Whatever you have for me to do, Lord, I believe it's going to happen. And remember, all things, again, are possible to him that believes, Mark 9:23. And I have a caller on the air, caller ending in, brand-new caller coming on the air, caller ending in 8277. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking with on tonight?
Leandra.
Leandra, how you doing, ma'am? Thank you for calling in. I think this is my first time hearing your voice. But how did you hear about the show, if you don't mind me asking?
Pastor Michelle Page.
All right. Well, Pastor Michelle, thank you kindly, ma'am. Thank you kindly for bringing a new member onto the line.
Yes, sir.
Well, ma'am, our topic right now, we're speaking on the motivation, and the topic's title is Help, My Family Needs Motivation. So we'll continue to talk, and we'll keep your line open, ma'am, and if you have anything, any suggestions, any comments you want to make, please feel free to do so, and like I said, we'll keep your line open. And again, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so what I want to say, y'all, is we left off at that Mark 9 and 23. Y'all, if we can believe it, we can achieve it. It's basically what Jesus is telling us. If I had to pick a phrase to paraphrase it with, if we can believe it, we can achieve it. So when it feel like that, you know, the cards are down on the table and you don't know what else to do, you feel like you done all you got to do. Now's that time for you to seek that godly mentorship, right, and that motivation that you need. Honey, I know I'm talking too much, babe. The line's open. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing good, baby. You're doing good. Does anybody have anything to say? Other than Mariah? Okay.
She getting it in tonight.
Yeah, she's being very loud. But I stop it. I would like to say that, like we were talking about earlier, you know, being accountable for each other, we must also have a balance, because sometimes you do go through things, you know. One reason, as we discussed earlier, that people do go through a lack of motivation for a moment, you know, it could be temporary, it could be to grief, you know, loss, different things. So we have to allow them to feel what they're feeling and go through what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the same time, we have to also know how not to encourage them to stay in that place. Listen to them, allow them to feel what they feel, you know, be there. But again, you know, pull them out, push them out, you know, however we want to see it, but help them come out of that valley, of that place. And sometimes people have that lack of motivation or lose that motivation that they once had, or feel like they lose that motivation, because sometimes we feel like we've lost it and we truly haven't. You know, we just feel like it's gone, which is another trick of the enemy. But sometimes when people feel that way, it is also related to a lack of confidence in their ability. It could be a lack of confidence in them. I've dealt with that, you know, not in anybody else, but in them. And so in that, again, you know, allow them to feel what they're feeling, but make sure that we're building them up. Make sure that we are, you know, encouraging them. Not allowing them to just stay in that place of, you know, not get to a place of self-pity or whatever, but allowing them also to work through the process. Because sometimes people have to work through the process.
Amen, they do. They do. And you know, even with that being said, honey, when we're doing good, right, when we're out there doing good, y'all, and we can't see the fruit of our labor immediately, a lot of us tend to lose what? Motivation. But according to Galatians 6 and 9, it said, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you're out there doing in order to receive a harvest, but when you're sowing good, the Word of God basically is telling us that when we sow good unto people, then good will return back to us. Right? So this oh my God, we can go in so many different directions biblically when it comes to motivation and you know, scriptures that would combat lack of motivation. And even when we're down, y'all, like I said, when you're in your point, when you're in your valley, what we consider our valley, we can also look at 1 Peter 5 and 7. Where it says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. All right, so if you don't have nobody to talk to, you know, in, immediately, you know, because you're going through whatever you're going through, you cast all your anxieties and cares on him because he cares for you. And when you do that and when you give it to him, he takes those things away from you. And when you sow in tears, you reap in joy because God will give you joy. He gives you that joy back because we know joy, lack of motivation, depression, those are the things They're like the thistle that chokes out the flower. They bring about death, and what I mean by that is it brings about death in different parts of your life. You know, your family unit, honey. Just as you mentioned, you know, earlier, you have lack of motivation on your job, and we know, y'all, when you look at the basic term of of death, or when we look at the term of non-production, those are the two words that can be tied in together when it comes to death, because when something's dead, it no longer can produce. And when it's non-productive, it's considered dead. So our motivation is something that, you know, we have to trust and rely on God, and we have to rely on our brothers and sisters in Christ, and even being able to talk to your spouse about that. And don't be afraid to encourage somebody, but sometimes there just might be that moment where God needs you to be quiet so that, just like as you said earlier, honey, that person can go through whatever he or she needs to go through at that moment. And it's what you call a cleansing process, a purging process, where they're crying and they're sowing their tears. But you have to remember to cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And when you do that, we know that the word of God tells us that all things work together for the good of those that love God. So if we love God and he cares for us, how can we go wrong? How can we not get our motivation back if we don't know that?
It's true.
This is a good topic on tonight, honey. I gotta admit, I love it.
And you know, it is sometimes a process. Like when you were going through waiting for a promotion, I would say, now yours with me, the infertility and the death of the girls, I think probably were the hardest moments. You know. With as far as you being my husband, you know, having to deal with, how am I trying to say it, you know, being there as I was going through, even though you were going through too, but I reacted differently than you. You know, and yours was, when you were waiting to be promoted. And all of those years went by, and every year, you know, you were believing. And then I'll never forget the time when you were right there, like, 20-something points away or something, and the promotion system changed. And it was hard. It was really hard knowing the right things to say. I felt like I just kept saying the same things, because I got to the point where I really just didn't know what else to say. There was nothing else I could say. And I really saw him, you know, I saw my husband really go through with that. Keisha, I think you remember that, don't you?
I do.
And I really, you know, saw him go through ups and downs, you know, periods of excitement, and then it would be a disappointment, and then another period of excitement, then another disappointment. And this went on for eight years, right, Kenny? It seemed like it was never ending. And now I look back at that, and I see, you know, and I know that it was a process. It was definitely a process. And when God said he was going to do it, he did it. He did it. And he didn't give us a time. We knew he was going to do it. But there were times when Kenny, you know, was believing it wasn't going to happen. And I always tried to encourage him. You know, I never doubted that it was going to happen. I never doubted it was going to happen. But there were days when I went to God, too, and I'm like, God, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do. You know, here we go, another year. This is another year going by, and we're still dealing with this. He's still, you know, still trying to encourage him, still trying to keep his spirits up, still trying to, you know, tell him not to lose the hope. And it was hard. It was hard, but it was a process, and it made him stronger, and it made him into the man of God that he is today. And so I thank God for that. I truly, truly thank God for that. And I say all of that to say, well, even though we do sometimes look at the time, you know, but know that even in the wait, even in the disappointments, you know, even in things seeming like they're not working out right, because sometimes things just look to us like they're not working out right, but they are, because like you said, Kenny, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to, you know, according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're called according to his purpose and, you know, we love him, we're calling, you know, according to his purpose, those things are going to work out. Even the disappointments, even the days of crying, even the moments when it looks like it's not going to happen, all of that is still a part of the plan, and it's making us and it's molding us. And so sometimes we have to be reminded of that when we're going through it. We have to be reminded of that because it's different when you're in the forest. You know, it's one thing when you come, you know, you're out, you're driving down the road, you can see the tree. You know what I'm saying? You can, you're like, yeah, I don't came out of that thing or, you know, whatever. But when you're in it, that's a hard place. That's a very, very hard place. And it is something that can cause you to feel like you're losing it. You're losing the motivation. You're losing the drive. You know what? I just give up. You know, forget this. I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, obviously this is not for me. And that a lot of times is not the case. Now, do we have those moments where we just go in the wrong way? God is like, no, I've called you to do that. We do have those moments. So it is, you know, it is important for us to be prayerful, for us to ask God to lead us. God, what is your desire for us? I never in a million years would have thought that I would be a writer. That was not my goal. That is not what I set out to do. You know. But that was God's plan for me. And like we talked about on the last show, since I've accepted that, now I feel a place of fulfillment that I didn't have before, you know, being at home with the kids and everything. But now I feel a place of fulfillment, excitement. You know, it's like I can see some things. I still go through my moments, you know, where I'm like, oh, I wish this would move a little faster or whatever. However, I'm a lot more fulfilled than I was when I was trying to find my way, getting these little jobs, and none of them were working out, putting in applications, and, you know, not listening to Kenny, not listening to Keisha, not listening to Pastor Michelle, because they telling me, I don't know, you know, Pastor Michelle, I don't know why you putting in no applications, you ain't go, you know, and I'm still not listening, I'm still putting in applications. You know, and this is just, you know, when you know that you're on that path that God has for you, all of those things are going to work out. And so we have to keep the hope even in situations that seem hopeless. So I'm going to be quiet now. I'm going to put my phone back on mute. You guys, I apologize that my kids are extremely – y'all know they be loud, but they are extremely loud and off the chain tonight. I'm sorry.
That's because Jeremiah just got back home.
So.
That
I just wanted to say something. You know, we were talking earlier, and you were just saying how, you know, when things aren't going right, and then even kind of in your situation, Quadrilla, when you were wanting so much to move in a direction, and I'm just going to say, like, you just wanted a direction. You didn't care what direction it was. You just was like, I'll do this, and those things weren't working out for you. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 46:10, and it just says, be still and know that I am God. So even in everything that you are going through, even when your life, when you feel like it's in your still moments, when you are in your still days, because sometimes he'll just quiet you and he'll still you just so he can get you to where he needs to get you to, because he just needs you to be. So even in those moments, it just resonates with me so much, because he is like, don't you worry, I got this. You may not be moving, but that does not mean I'm not moving on your behalf in the background.
Come on.
Amen.
My Lord.
Mm-mm.
Ain't he good? Wow. That's why I'm telling y'all, right? And just as you said before, honey, right? When you ride past the forest and you're looking and say, the Lord has brought me out of that. Oh, how soon do we forget sometimes, right? What we had to go through to get to where we're at. It's kind of like, if I may use an analogy, it's kind of like a woman with being impregnated and giving childbirth. the woman goes through 9 months and she's saying, oh, my Lord, my feet hurt. Oh, my knees hurt. My back hurt. This, that, and the third hurt. I can't stop peeing. You know, a woman goes through all of this for 9 months, and then she goes through labor, right? That's like one of the closest things I believe, you know, just me physically being the man I am, being able to see this happening in action. I think that's the closest thing to death a woman can get to, right? But after the woman has the baby, y'all, she forgets all about the pain, right? She forgets all about it. And we soon look back over our life and everything that the Lord has brought us out of. And sometimes, y'all know just as well as I know, we have people that forget where they came from to get to where they at, right? And they forget to thank the people along the way. But I can't give God nothing but glory for him bringing me from where he brought me from to where I'm at now. And I give him all praise, glory, and honor because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. And I have another scripture, right? This scripture here is from James, the first chapter, the 12th verse, and it reads, I'll be reading from the New American Standard. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. King James uses that trial and that word trial as temptation. All right, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Wow. That's just amazing. And, you know, I don't know what the Lord is trying to give me through these scriptures tonight to say over the broadcast, but I pray whoever these scriptures are for, I pray that you're writing them down. And not only are you writing them down, but I pray that they're scriptures to be able to encourage you, to help you get back. The word in which we're speaking on tonight, that motivation you need. Amen. I'm done talking to you. I think I talked too much tonight.
No, it was good. I just have one scripture I want to say, and then I'm going to go back on mute, and I guess we can get ready to close. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I love that scripture. That is on my email. And hope maketh not ashamed. So we have to continue to hope. We have to continue to believe. And even when I was going through with the infertility, I had my moments. It may have seemed like I lost all motivation, but there had to be some hope somewhere. I did a lot of crying. I did a whole lot of crying. A lot of talking, a lot of praying, a lot of asking. But even when I wanted to completely give up hope, there was still something there. There was still a little hope that was there. And it did not make me ashamed. Yes, we suffered some losses. You know, that's some things, you know, part of life. God had his plan, you know. But we thank God, because even in that, we have still grown. Even in that, we still have seen, you know, where God has moved, he's matured us, and we stayed the course. We stayed the course even in that, and we realized that our faithfulness to God, first of all, he's always faithful to us. Our faithfulness would never touch his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
But our
Amen.
Faithfulness to God and our love for God was not based on circumstances. And that's when we really, that's when we really learned that. Would you say that, Kenny? That's when we really, really
Amen.
Learned it.
Amen.
It's not based on circumstances. But our love for him is because we love him, because of who he is. His goodness is not based on our circumstances. He's just good because he's good.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. I'm a little surprised. I don't hear my pastor on tonight. What's up, pastor?
Oh, I was waiting. I
feel like the Lord is giving you something that's brewing in your heart right now. I just feel it right now. I feel it.
Amen. I was just waiting. I do have something to say.
Praise the Lord.
Can I say what I needed to say?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I always try to ask Pastor Quadrillion, you know, what are you guys talking about today and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when she said motivation, it really dropped into my spirit. And so we do this thing that even though we know the definition of words, we still look them up. And I want to share this with the people out there in radio land or listening. The definition for motivation, it says the reason or reasons one has for acting or behaving in a particular way. The general desire or willingness of someone to do something. It is the drive, the enthusiasm, the ambition, the initiative, the determination. And all of that, it's only that you can develop an enterprise. That is the definition of motivation. Here's the thing with the body of Christ. We are conforming too much like the world to where we don't want to motivate one another because we're so afraid that somebody is going to have more than the next person. But I encourage you today to find someone in the body of Christ, and I say the body of Christ because the world gets theirs, believe that, that has that passion, that has that desire, that drive, and looks, and they have that in their eyes, but they don't have anybody pushing them. I encourage somebody today to push somebody else and watch God push you in the direction that you should move forward in. Listen, Paul said it very clear to us. He said we have to forget those things that are behind us, and we have to reach for those things that are before us. Paul then said, for I press toward the mark. Anything that you're trying to get established, even in God, even in natural, it is a press. It is something that is an adjective. You got to keep going, and you cannot stop. You have keep moving. Motivation, being motivated, is an action. You got to move no matter what. And so I just wanted to encourage somebody today that your dreams are not out of your reach. Your dreams are not unstoppable. Your dreams are not to be quenched. Your dreams are your dreams. And if you can see it, like Pastor Kenny said, if you can see it, just believe that you can do it. And that is what it is. But if you just pour into somebody else, God will pour into you. We're still reaching for this lifestyle that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But what the thing could be is that we're not encouraging somebody else.
Come on.
We are stagnant and we're not reaching our potential of what we have, our businesses, our books that needs to be written, our greeting card companies, things like that. We could be, not Pastor Quasim because she's a great encourager, but we could be, segue just a moment, y'all, hearttoinspire.com also does greeting cards and quotes and things like that. Please look up the website, hearttoinspire.com. But that's heart, the number two, inspire.com. But I must say that if we are encouraging one another, we don't have to look to the world for anything. Everything that we need is in the body of
Christ. You better say
Every single thing that we need is in the body.
Come on.
So I really encourage you all today. Pastor Quadrillin, that is my person. That is my motivator. My husband is my motivator. If I call Pastor Kenny, he motivates me. Missionary Jay, my dear friend, my motivator. Listen, we do it for one another. Let's keep the circle going. Find somebody now that's not used to somebody being in their corner. Find somebody within the body that you can nurture. Because, listen, the more you encourage them, you're just encouraging yourself.
That's it.
Amen.
That's right.
Wow.
Amen.
And you know, while you were talking, Pastor Michelle, there was a scripture that I was thinking of. And I was like, okay, Lord, I know the scripture, but I got to find it. And that scripture is James 5:16. James 5:16 reads, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you're right. We must encourage one another. We must encourage one another. And I remember our first lady in Colorado Springs, Lily Johnson. She had this song, the Hezekiah Walker song, that says, "I need you to survive."
Yes.
And that was a motivational song right there. We sung that song. I promise y'all. We sung that song one day for like 2 hours. You remember that, honey?
Maybe not
but
2 hours,
but
it was a while.
Yeah, it was a long time, y'all, and I'm exaggerating. But when we left up out of that sanctuary, y'all, we were so motivated and driven. We were so confident that whatever God had for us to do at that moment, we were ready to conquer the world if he told us to conquer the world right then and there. So you're right.
That's
Pastor
right.
I'm, wow. My Lord.
Amen.
Now,
that
word motivation and stirred up some. It didn't stir up the gift.
That's right. And we cannot be
Hallelujah.
Fearful. We cannot any longer. We have to stop allowing fear to stop us from taking steps.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes
right.
we're scared to take the first step because we're fearful.
Yeah. That's right.
And we have
That's
to
right.
stop being bound by fear. Fear is an enemy. Mm-hmm. That is the only fear that we should have is the fear of God.
Amen.
That's the beginning
Amen.
Of wisdom.
Sure enough. That's
and
the word.
But that's the fear that people lack. That's the fear
that's
that people
right.
lack.
That's it.
But that is the beginning of wisdom. So that is the fear that we should have.
Amen.
My Lord.
But faith without Amen. Works is dead. So if we are not moving forward in what God has for us to do, even through the disappointments, we may fail 15 times in our eyes. They're failures anyway. 15, 20 times. But you better know on that 21st time, you expect, every time you move forward, you expect God.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
My God, my God.
Because the earth is the Lord's.
And the fullness.
Yes. There. This is God's. Everything is God's.
Mm. Too real. That's too real. That's too good right there to sit on. That's too good
Amen.
To sit on right there.
So why do we have to look at TV and say, you know what? That's for them. No. Mm-mm-mm. That's not just for them. That's not just for them.
Amen.
If it's God's, he wants us to have it.
You better say it.
And so we just have to we have to keep that in mind. We can no longer be bound by fear. It's time to say enough is enough.
Amen. Enough is enough.
I've been bound by fear. I've seen my mama, my grandmama, my aunties, my uncles. You know, we can look back and see where our families have been bound by fear.
My God.
And I'll say this over the air. And I've said this to Kenny. I've said this to Pastor Michelle. Keisha, I think I said to you. I don't know if I did. But I believe God that as far as in our families, mine and my husband's family, that we are going to be the example of how God will allow, you know, we're going to supersede expectations.
Praise the Lord. I receive that.
I believe that through God, not through our own power, but through God. I just believe it. I do. I believe it. We will be the ones that will be an example of being more than just comfortable, of the abundance. And I just believe that God is going to do it. I do. I believe he's going to do it, and we'll be able to open homes and open businesses and give and sow and meet the needs of people as we lead them to Christ. Y'all, excuse me. Okay, I'm going to have to hush because they've been out loud in the back.
So I agree. I agree with everything that has been said on tonight. So I know our word tells us in Hebrews 10:24, it tells us to let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So when we out there motivating our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ, we're doing unto God, we're doing unto others as God would do unto us. God loves us. Not only does he love us, but the word tells us that all things work together for the good of those that love him. And I know y'all, the Lord has given me a lot of scriptures to give you on tonight, But these scriptures I have, and if I may do a recap real quick, because I know we're about to get ready to end on tonight. But these are the scriptures that we can use to stand on to combat lack of motivation. Our first scripture coming from James, the first chapter, the 12th verse. Our next scripture will be Galatians 6 and 9. Then we have 1 Peter 5 and 7. Then we have Romans 8 and 28. We have James 5 and 16. And the last scripture in which the Lord has given me on tonight comes from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the 24th verse. I want to thank all of the callers and listeners for calling in on tonight. Callers, I thank you all for just calling in, because it's just truly an honor to be able to be in the presence of like-minded people, those that love God, those that love their families and want to see their families grow and prosper. Because those that don't, they're not out there seeking and trying to find different means and resources. But those that do, they're out there doing any and everything they can, because they see and they believe that their family is worth fighting for. So God bless you all on tonight. Honey, I have said all I needed to say, honey. If you have any closing remarks, please feel free to do so, baby.
I just want to say thank you. Also, is Leanne on the phone? Is she still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling. I'm, again, sorry, specifically, you know, especially to you. I'm sorry that my kids were so loud. especially to you.
No. Thank you for calling in. Thank you.
What'd you say?
You are very welcome.
No problem.
We love kids.
I don't know. this is a real show, so you know we don't have all that professionalism that other people have. So they be in the background sometimes, but they were just off the chain tonight, for real. They were extreme. So, but thank you all. This was a great show. Thanks for everybody for calling. Thank you for, you know, your feedback, Keisha. You know I got to call you, girl, because I'm just so proud. I'm so proud.
She was preaching. She was preaching.
I am too proud. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that show. Listen to this show. But if you know, if you all know anyone that needs this, you know, we ask that you share it with them. Please let them know that the key's in the background off the chain before you. But, you know, have them to go back and listen or share what we talked about, because we do need to motivate each other. We need it. So, yes, let's do it. Love you guys. That's all I have to say.
Love you all.
Love you all. God bless you and have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night.